All right. You got your listening guide. The first thing I want you to see on your listening guide is, children, obey your parents. Now, right there, I ought to get a clap and a handshake from all mamas out there, right? It's like, yeah, we need that sermon every week, right? Don't worry, your part will come later. But children, obey your parents. This is not negotiable. It's all throughout the Bible. It's a principle that God set up. It's the principle that parents are supposed to teach, lead, instruct their children. And it's the principle that as children and teenagers, we're called to obey our parents and those in authority over us. It's the principle of obedience. Now, in this passage, as he tells you to obey your parents, it's not because they're good parents. Did you see that? It doesn't say obey your parents because they have your best interest in mind. It doesn't say obey your parents because they're nice people. It says obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. That's the reason. Not because they're good or they're perfect. There's a principle that God's giving us here. It's the principle of submission to authority. Okay, now I've got a picture of an umbrella there. And this idea of the umbrella is this respecting authority. Now, the principle is this. If you have an umbrella and you hold it up and it's raining, the rain doesn't get upon you, right? It falls on the umbrella, and the whole idea is that you don't get rained on. It's the same thing with authority. Authority puts an umbrella of protection over you. God is your ultimate authority. That's why we're first called to obey him and live under his teachings and commands. Next, we have our parents that we're called to submit to and live under their teaching and commands. What happens when we disobey? We get out from under that protection. We get out from under that umbrella of authority, and then it's on us. Now, as parents, that should teach us just how important it is for us to live a life that glorifies God. God is entrusting you with the leadership of your family, and because of that, your example is going to be set for your kids. And because of that, your life of obedience to God needs to be a testimony to your kids. One of the things I see in our culture today is I see adults that are choosing to disobey the authorities over them and then wonder why their kids won't obey their authority. Parents, are you the type of parent that when your children get in trouble, you immediately go on the offensive and blame the authority over them? Are you the type of parents that my parents were, which they told me when I went off to school, they said, now, son, if you get a spanking at school, when you come home, you know what's going to happen. You'll get two at home. Now, what was my dad trying to say? Abuse is okay? Not at all. My dad never abused me. Wore my tail out a couple times, but he never abused me. Okay? What he was trying to say to me is, when I send you off to school, I'm putting you under the authority of that teacher. And therefore, my parental role passes to them while you're with them. And therefore, you're called to obey them just as you do obey me. And when I would go to spend the night at somebody's house, my parents would say, hey, love you, great kid that you are, but just know that Aunt Shirley, I've already told Aunt Shirley, if she needs to give you a whooping, she's got my permission. And I remember one time my cousin and I, Jeff, we had this bright idea, as you would have, of course, at 7 years old. We had this bright idea that we hid out in the camper, which was a pop-up, you know, so keyword flammable, and we're out there because we found the box of matches. Oh yeah, and we're striking them up, just having a ball out there. And my Aunt Shirley came in and she found us, and guess what she did to us? She gave us the love of the rod. And not only did I get a spanking, but my sister apparently was supposed to be watching me, so she got a spanking. And then when I got home, we got another set of spankings. Now, I'll just tell you what that taught me. That taught me submission to authority. It taught me that my parents love me. I didn't understand it then. I get it now. It wasn't that they didn't want me to have fun lighting matches, was it? It was the fact that they wanted me not to burn up in a camper and die. And so, therefore, they had rules. In the same way, God has rules for your life and mine. It's not because he's in heaven going, oh, I hope Steve Taboo has a horrible weekend this weekend. He's praying for rain. Let's give him sunshine. He's praying for sunshine for that ball game. Let's give him rain. That is not the character of God. God loves you. And boy, he gave us sunshine yesterday, didn't he? Woo! 3 soccer games and a yard sale. I'm fried. This is not makeup. This is God makeup. And I should have obeyed my mom and put some sunscreen on, right? I should have reflected back to those days. If you're going to be out in the sun, put sunscreen on. I should have thought back to those days. Well, that protection of authority is to protect you. And so, kids and teenagers, let me just say to you, obey your parents. You don't always agree with them. I get it. I didn't either. And I didn't always obey them. But the things that I didn't obey them on, now I look back and wish that I had. It would have saved me a whole lot more heartache. Amen? And so, I just want to tell you, when it comes to authority, adults, you won't always agree with authority that you're under. But the way that you choose to obey that authority will directly be a result of how your kids obey your authority. So what is that authority in your life? Your job, right? Are you obeying your boss, or are you constantly saying, I know better than him, I'm going to do it my way? What part are you called to obey? Those in authority over you. And I can't stress this enough, how we're called to obey God. God is our ultimate authority over us. And we're called to obey him and obey his word. And there are times that I read this word and I'm going, oh, Lord, forgive 70 times 7? That's a little oppressive. You know, can't we just forgive once, and if they mess up again, just write them off? No. 70 times 7. And I know that God's word is there for us to obey, because when we do, it gives us the greatest life ever. And his principles and his truths are there to guide us in a path that will give us the strongest relationships with friends, families, and others. Now, what do you do when you're under authority that's not fair? What do you do when you're under an authority that is not for you? Well, according to Scripture, unless they're telling you to do things that are against God's will, you submit. Now, if the authority came in today and said you can't worship anymore in America, I believe that God's authority supersedes man's authority. Make sense? Okay. But kids, I don't think you get that caveat. I think that as a child or a teenager, if your parents are instructing you, you want to stay under their authority and obey them. Now, how could that conflict? Well, I got saved when I was about 16. And after I got saved, I was excited about Jesus. I mean, I realized what Christ had done. I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. I went home and told my family about Jesus, told my extended family about Jesus. And I fell in love with the Lord and church. And I went from being a Sunday school kid, where I got my neighbors would take me to Sunday school, to wanting to go to Sunday school in what I call big church, which is what you're in now. I want to be in Sunday school. I want to be in big church. Then I got radical. I wanted to go back on Sunday nights. We had discipleship training, they called it, where you studied a different book. And then there was another church service after that. And then Wednesday nights they had youth group. And then they had youth choir. And my parents came to me and said, we think you're spending too much time at church. My parents were not believers in Christ. And they said, we think you've gone overboard and getting a little fanatical. You're wanting to be there all the time. And so you can only go to church once or twice a week at the most. So you'll have to pick and choose. And at first I was like, God, you are my authority. This is wrong. And I wanted to disobey my parents. I went and got the counsel of a spiritual mentor of mine, and I asked him, what should I do? And thankfully, he gave me good biblical advice. He said, Steve, you're under their authority. They're not asking you to reject your faith or deny Christ. They're asking you to submit to their authority and not go there as much as you want to go. He said, I believe under the word of God, you need to submit to their authority and honor them and obey them. And so I did, thanks to his counsel. And instead of burning bridges with my family, the Lord allowed me to build bridges with my family. And I would just say to you, this principle is true, and God calls us to live it out. Now, it's not always easy, and we won't always agree with what we think needs to be done. But I just encourage you to choose to live that life of obedience to authority over you. Now, as a government, what if the government tells us to do something that is wrong? Okay? Well, we have the privilege in our country of civil disobedience. I'm grateful for the men and women of God that were willing to stand up against the racism 30, 40, 50 years ago. They were willing to be arrested for civil disobedience and saying, no, this is not acceptable. This is wrong. We have that privilege. The problem is it usually comes with pain and sacrifice. And so usually we just kind of go along with the flow, hoping not to make too many ripples. But I believe what's coming down the pike, I believe in the next 10, 20 years, if we continue to live for Christ, we'll have more and more of those moments where we've got to stand up and be prepared to face the price, pay the cost for standing for Christ. To choose not to be angry, and that's what I'm seeing so much, that getting angry and belligerent at people that disagree with us, but being humble but firm, loving but bold, kind, considerate, putting others before ourselves, but also not being afraid to speak out when something wrong is being spoken. Well, second thing, let me give you one parenting tip. I put a little parenting tip in here. For those that are parenting, this is not in the Bible, okay? So this is Steve Tamu's parenting tip. Something somebody gave me, and it comes right along with obedience. When I was a young parent, didn't know much about parenting, somebody pulled me aside and said, let me just share this one nugget that somebody gave me. It's two words, stop and now. And they said, when it comes to parenting, I don't require complete obedience from my kids all the time and get angry when they don't. I realize they're kids. They're 7 years old and they're playing with their Legos, and you say it's time to come to dinner and they're like, okay. And what do? They keep playing with the Legos, right? And you go, oh, hey, maybe you didn't hear me. It's time to come eat. And they're like, uh-huh. And they get back in their Legos. And they taught me, they said, you know, there's two words. The first one is now. And so when I say now, that means no matter what you're doing, you drop it all and you come immediately. And the idea is, what if someone is about to nab your kid at the mall and you see that about to take place and you go, hey, I need you to come over here, son, now. And they go, why? And you say, doesn't matter, just come now. And they go, don't want to. Okay? So for me, the word now, in my family, if I say, hey, we're going to eat dinner, then let's get ready, then usually we start moving that direction. But if I say, everybody at the table now, they know that whatever they're doing, they drop it, and we all come. The other word is stop. And the word stop is universal for us to mean whatever you're doing. If I say the word stop, if you're fighting, arguing, whatever it is, if we say stop, you just stop everything. And the reason for that, they taught me, was, you know, what if your kid's about to run into traffic and they don't see that car coming? If you yell stop and they're used to ignoring you and disrespecting you and they're running that direction, it could be fatal. So the two words for us is stop and now. And both of those require complete obedience. And parents, for you to do that, you've got to throw out this modern mindset that you can just talk with your kids about everything. Okay, I think it's great to talk with your kids. I do that, I explain things. But those two words, I don't ever explain. Not in the front, only on the backside after they obey. So that's just a teaching, parenting nugget that somebody gave me that really helped for me as a parent. Okay, second thing, all of us are called to honor our father and mother. It says here, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment that comes with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you'll have a long life on earth. So honor, what is the difference between honor and obey? I believe the honor is when you move out from under their umbrella protection, out from under their authority, and you move out on your own. Now, different cultures have different ages for this. Some actually have an age that they say, okay, at 16, you move out, or at 16, you become a man. 16, you become a woman. Some of them, it's 18. Some of them, it's 21. Some, it's when you get married, okay? Each person has different plans, I would say. For me, I believe it moves from obey to honor when you're able to stand on your own and provide for yourself. So if you move out at 18, at that point, you're now called to honor your father and mother. But if they call you up and they say, hey, you've got to start giving me all of your income and sending it back home and move back home, I don't believe you're called to obey. I believe you're called to honor them and say, hey, I understand what you're saying. I'd like to help you if you're going through a tough time. But at this point, I don't feel led to move back in. I don't feel led to give you all of my income. So when I went from obeying my parents as a teenager to moving out of the house, I went to church as many times as I could. When I came to college, I literally was in a Bible study on Monday nights, Baptist Student Union on Tuesday nights, church on Wednesday night, Bible study at my house on Wednesday nights again, Baptist Student Union again on Thursday nights, Sunday church. I went to two churches in the morning and one at night. I was addicted, and I still am. I love being around God's people. I love being in God's house. I love being and doing the things of God. I'd just rather do that than watch TV. I'd rather do that than pretty much anything. And so I wasn't being disobedient to my parents at that time. I had been obedient. I've moved out. Now it's between me and the Lord on how am I going to honor them. And let me just say to you, for those that have moved out, I want to encourage you to honor your parents. I wonder, was Mother's Day and Father's Day created so that we would actually call our parents once a year? Was it created so that we would actually give them at least one day a year the attention that they deserve and need? Because we are such a... I am such a selfish person that it's real easy for me to get in my circle and do the things I enjoy. I enjoy sports. I mean, why else would you stand in the sun for 5.5 hours to watch a kid kick a ball in a circle? You know what I'm saying? I mean, does it really make sense? It doesn't. But I love my kids. I love sports. And it's easy to get in your circle and choose not to honor your parents. And how can we honor those parents? How can we do that? I believe there's a couple things. One is the way we speak of them. The way we speak of our parents. It's in vogue today to blame our parents for every problem we have. Is that not true? It's like, well, you know, I just didn't get good upbringing. My mama, she was always a fireball, so that's where I get my anger from. My daddy, he never could say he loved anybody, so that's why I can't tell anybody I love anybody. And we want to blame our parents for everything, even though we've stepped out of the protection of their leadership, and we choose not to obey them, we're on our own, we still want to look back and point blame. Can I just say to you today that if you're on your own, if you're an adult, it doesn't mean that you weren't affected by their poor choices, if they made some, but you are now accountable before God to make decisions that will love God, love others, and impact the world. You've been given the tool of God, of the Holy Spirit, through salvation, that you can make the right decisions and you can live differently than those before you. And for those of us parents, if you've messed up, you can go and you can fess up and start fresh. A buddy of mine, man, he had a tough life, lived a tough life, did not live it for Christ. And at 37 years old, he got saved. Almost all of his kids were raised in an abusive alcoholic home. And he could have just given up and written off all of his kids and said, you know what, they don't want anything to do with me, which was true. But he didn't. And he began to make it his prayer every day that he would rebuild that relationship with them. And now they have a great relationship. It took over 20 years. But now they choose to honor their dad, not for who he was, but because of his position as a father. And let me just say that to you. If anything, you can always be grateful to God for the one thing your parents gave you. They brought you into the world. If that's all you can say positive, and for some of you that is. We were sitting in our life group last week and realized that out of 6 men in the room, none of us had great relationships with our dads. It was a sad moment for me as a dad. Out of 6 of us. Doesn't mean dads are bad, but it means 6 dads had made some mistakes. And I would say it doesn't have to be that way. But even if it is, you can choose to honor. And when you speak about your father and mother, you can speak of them with honor. And instead of bringing up all the junk of the past every time you think about them, you could choose to be the person that forgives and honors. It's not easy, but it's part of what it says. So the first way is the way you speak to them. Are you honoring when you speak of your parents? Second thing is the amount of time that you spend with them. How much time do you spend with your parents? Are they older? Are they out of state? Do you bother to call them more than just on Mother's Day? When you come in town where they're at, do you try to take them out to lunch, out to dinner to honor them? I know I'm stepping on some toes because some of you, your parents don't even care. Listen, in our conversation, we had parents last week in my life. We had parents that folks drove into town, called them on the phone and said, I'm here. It's a 5-hour drive. I'm at a conference. I'm here in town for the next 2 days. Would you like to get together and have the dad say no? So I get it as hard sometimes. And when my dad told me no that day, it hurt. Because I wanted to see him. He was too busy. He's retired. All he does is watch TV. Still to this day, don't know why he said no. But I'm telling you, that hurts. But I've got a choice. I can sit there and I can whine in it. And I can call him names. I can say negative things. Or I can call him up the next time I'm going into town and say, hey, would you like to get together this time? And the next time he said yes. And the next time he said yes. And the next time he said yes. And our relationship's still building. And that's my plan and that's my goal. Because I want to honor him for what he did give me when I was growing up. I want to honor him for being my father. And so in this passage, when it's talking about honor, it doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they said and did when you were growing up. It doesn't mean that they had to be great parents when you were growing up. It doesn't mean that they have to be great parents now. It means that you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, choose to follow the word of God, and you choose to be a person of honor by honoring those who are your parents. Because that glorifies God. That brings glory to his name when we choose to be honorable. Doesn't mean we approve of their behavior. It means we honor them for the position that they have in our lives. So the amount of time we spend with them. And the third one, the way that you take care of them. It's pretty obvious people are getting older every day. I haven't met anybody that doesn't get older every day. And so for all of us, as we get older every day, how do we want to be taken care of? And how do we want to take care of our parents? There's a sandwich generation. That's been the phrase I've heard it called, where you're still raising your kids and yet you're taking care of your parents. Some of you are in that. Some of you are taking care of your parents and taking care of your kids. It's a lot of work, right? And how do we take care of our parents? Do we love them well? Do we honor them well? And do we take care of them well in that season? I can't tell you the number of funerals I've done where sadly the grown adult children are more interested in fighting over what mama left behind or who she left it to or how much was left than they are about honoring the legacy of their parent. I can't tell you the number of families I've seen split, never to connect again, because they're more worried about the dollar sign at the funeral than they were about loving each other and honoring that legacy. And I want to tell you that as followers of Christ, it's got to stop. We've got to choose to honor and love. And then what about taking care? I believe we're called to take care. That doesn't mean that the best place for your mother or father is not in a nursing home or extended care. Doesn't mean that that's not part of the plan. But if it does mean that, are you visiting? Are you loving on them? Are you taking care of them well? Are you giving them that time? Well, I heard this story probably 20, 30 years ago, and I've never forgotten it. It sunk in my recesses of my life and maybe shaped the way I feel about this as much as anything. And the story went like this. There's a young family, had a couple of kids, and the grandpa got sick. Came to live with them. At first, it went well. He sat at the dinner table with them. They all fellowshiped together. But as he got sicker and sicker, his Parkinson's increased. And as his Parkinson's increased, he wasn't able to sit there with everybody like they wanted him to. And he began to spill things regularly. He began to break dishes as he tried to hold them with his shaking hands. He got older and had trouble with his speech, to the point where the parents decided, you know what? It would probably just be better for everybody if Grandpa didn't eat at the table with us because of the chaos it brought. And so they put Grandpa at a table by himself off to the side of the kitchen. And since he'd broken so many bowls, they gave him a wooden bowl and a wooden spoon so that he wouldn't break anything anymore. And the kids saw that and they wondered. So then one day the mom came up to the room and the kids were playing house. And she saw the girls were playing. They're sitting around the table. They got the little teacups and they're doing their tea time and they're celebrating. Then she noticed that they had taken one of the little tables and they'd moved it over in the corner. And there on that was a wood bowl and a spoon. And the mom looked at her. She said, what's that little table over there for? I've never seen y'all put that over there before. They said, oh, we're playing house, Mom, like we do. She said, what do you mean? She said, well, just like Grandpa's got his table in the corner, when you get old, we'll have a table for you. Jesus said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. How many of you, when you're 75 years old with Parkinson's, want to be stuck in a corner with a wood bowl and a wood spoon? I don't. I want to be treated with dignity. We need to treat our elders with dignity. We need to treat them with respect and honor. And not because they deserve it. That isn't even what he said. It's to honor God in that. And sometimes they're not even going to be that honorable. Sometimes it's going to be painful. And they may be even a little cranky. We're still called to honor and love anyway. Well, verse 4 there says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear, Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. The third point is respect everyone. Respect everyone. In today's hot political culture, respect everyone. Respect their opinions, even if you disagree with them. Respect them as people, even if you don't agree with all that they're about. You can still show respect for them because they are creations of God. It doesn't mean you have to approve of what they're doing or saying, but you're still called to respect everyone. In this, is there any harder position than to be a slave? I don't know if there is. Is there anybody that's harder to respect than if you're a slave and you get taken advantage of day in, day out, and you're expected to work for free with no hope of owning anything of yourself, with no hope of having a family that can't be sold out from you? And yet Paul says to them, respect your masters. Wow. If they can respect their masters, surely I can respect my boss. Surely I can respect my president. Surely I can respect my governor, my parents, those in authority over me. Surely I can respect my coworker that hates my guts, because at least I can go home every day to my family. Surely I can respect my neighbor that may cause me pain and trial, may even call my landlord on me from time to time, saying I'm too loud. When I was in California, my neighbor, when I'd have Bible studies at my house, would call my landlord and complain that there was too much noise, I was partying too loud. Those Bible studies get rowdy sometimes. Must have been when we were going through the book of Revelation. I don't know. They just didn't like us. Can I still respect them too? Yes. I can respect everyone because God calls me to respect everyone. Now, you may think that this is really strong for slaves, but you know what would have been the controversial part of this passage probably in that day? Masters, treat your slaves accordingly. There were no requirements for masters except maybe don't kill your slave. And Paul has the gall to tell the masters to respect their slaves. That would have been controversial. That would have been bold. That would have been like saying to them, I know you've got all the power, you hold all the cards and you have all the money, but I want you to set all that aside and I want you to respect this person who has no legal rights, no power, no authority, and no money. It's exactly what he was saying. That's the kind of love that sets a testimony to our community and our world that God is real, when we choose to love in that way. Well, let me encourage you, parents. Listen to your kids. I've been pretty strong on obey and submit to authority and honor. But parents, can I just encourage you? You only get one season with your kids and they're gone. Set aside your selfish hobbies that you might have. Set aside some of your dreams. Do hobbies with your kids. Take them with you every chance you can. It's funny, I've talked to people and I've tried to figure out the parent matrix. Don't you wish there was like a parent matrix, like you could like do five things and it would always work? But then God does a crazy thing and he gives you every kid and they're all different. I got six kids and they got six personalities. And the way I discipline one child works for that child. And I do it on the next one. It's just a total train wreck. And I've got to relearn parenting almost every time. And that's what love is. Spending enough time with each kid so that you get to know how they tick. And to do that, you may have to skip a couple of things that you like yourself. You may have to get rid of a couple of television shows. You may have to work a little bit less overtime. You may have to fish a little bit less. You may have to hang out with your girlfriends a little bit less and spend a little more time pouring into those kids. So parents, I just challenge you as well. Let's love our little ones well while we have them. Let's lead by example for our teenagers while we have them. Let's hold the line to point them to obey and honor those in authority over them. Let's lead by example in all that we can. You want your kids to wait until marriage? Then I ask you, are you willing to wait until you're married? You want your kids to have sexual purity? I challenge you to have sexual purity. You want that young boy to treat your daughter that you have loved so well with integrity and want to love her for who she is on the inside? Love your wife for who she is on the inside. You want your son to have a wife that's going to love him? Then love your husband well. Set the example in all that you say and all that you do. Well, Ephesians 6:5 in the Amplified says this. This is a different translation, but I liked what it said here. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your earthly masters with respect for authority and with a sincere heart in service to Christ. All of this that we do, if you don't have Christ in your heart, you just can't. I don't know how anybody can be a parent without being a follower of Christ, because there are so many nights I have to get on my face and say, Lord, I don't know the answer. God, help me with this. Jesus has got to be at the center, folks. He really does, because he is the one that teaches us hope. He is the one that can be with our children when we can't be with our children. He is the one that allows us to forgive such deep pain from our childhood. He is the one that set the example of love when no one else loved. And he's the example we're called to follow. But he's also the one that gives us strength to follow through. If you're like me, you need that strength. You need that hope. You need to lean in. And so I just want to encourage us all this morning. Are we willing to submit to authority of our parents? Are we willing to submit to the authority of God? If you would bow your head with me. I believe for all of us, there's some things in our lives that we wrestle with. Is there something that God's been telling you to give up for the sake of your kids? Is there an attitude in your heart of rebellion that when you get pulled over by a cop, your first thing is to begin speaking insults to the police officer because he caught you? Is your first thought with those in authority to badmouth them when you're around the dinner table so that your children hear it? Are there things in your life, teenagers, that you're disobeying your parents on that you need to ask their forgiveness for? Children, are you respecting your mom and your dad? Do you need to ask their forgiveness? At the end of the day, none of us can accomplish this without Jesus. We really can't, because when we confess him as Lord and Savior, when we follow him, he sends the Holy Spirit inside of us that allows us to forgive and to respect and to honor. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, but God's speaking to your heart now saying, today is the day, don't wait, then I invite you to pray this prayer along with me. You can pray it to the Lord God Almighty and pray it in your heart along with me and silently. Dear God, today I want you to be an authority over me. I will obey you in whatever you tell me. Please forgive me for the times I have disobeyed you. Lord, I want to be your child. I want to walk with you. I confess Jesus as my Savior and receive your gift of salvation today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.